Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and over there is Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, Ronnie?
Nothing. What you doing?
You know, I'm just making my way through the day, like Vanessa Carlton. I got my second dose of the vaccine. I got my Moderna vaccine yesterday. So I'm in the throes of vaccine loopiness. Like it's kind of crazy. I'll be like, you know, I'll feel normal and then all of a sudden I'll feel really sluggish and then I'll be normal. Like I, in the middle of the night
so
last
basically
night,
you just know what it's like to be me.
In the middle of the night last night, I had like chills and a headache, but you know, but just taking Tylenol. But yeah, so I'm just kinda, so therefore I am sitting today at the standing desk instead of standing because I don't want to actually just like keel over in the middle of the podcast. So I'm just gonna like do my best. I mean, and what better time to recap Real Housewives of New Jersey than when you are, you know, just hopped up on, you know, COVID vaccine meds, you know.
Have you been taking lots of jab selfies? Like everybody's been taking, they're like, oh my God, sorry, look cute, getting my vaccination. They're like, jab. Like all the housewives have their like cute little jab pics. Have you done that? I haven't been on your Insta.
I did like one yesterday, not of the jab, but it was like post jab. I wasn't going to do one, but I got carried away. I got excited, but I actually am regretting it because I kind of don't want to advertise that I'm going to be fully vaccinated.
I hear that.
In 2 weeks,
yeah.
Mainly because I just don't want to be obligated to social things.
Yes.
I've enjoyed this year of not being obligated, and I'm like, damn it, I just advertised that in two weeks I'll be you know, mostly immune,
ready
and
to
so,
go hang out. Yeah,
so
I'm
people
not,
will be like,
oh,
you
want to
hang out?
It.
I know you're immune.
I haven't gotten it, and it's because I have an excuse to just not do so many things. I'm not ready, okay? I'm not ready to be safe yet. Okay, guys, I'm just going to be over here freeballing it with my possible sickness, okay? Because I don't want to go hang out with, you know, people I don't want to. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like,
unless that jab comes with, like, a Nutrisystem, you know, freebie or something, because that Dorinda got all skinny on her Nutrisystem, or if it just comes with, like, some kind of appetite suppressant. Like, there needs to be something more than you're not going to die. I need some more incentive than that, you know?
Yeah, I think that that's just the main one, because I think for most people that's usually good enough. It would be nice if it came with like also some, you know, some weight loss qualities. But it's just been weird. It's been a weird. Yesterday I was like mainly fine, but like when I'm walking around, I sort of feel like I got sandbags attached. I feel like since I've been taking Tylenol, you know what it feels like? It feels like I have a repressed fever. Like my body feels like it is. What my body feels like when I have a fever, but I don't feel a fever because the Tylenol. So, you know, it's just it's a journey, and I'm just going to channel these emotions into our recap and our podcast today.
Okay, well, great, everybody. Ben's alive, so that's good. Ben's still with us. We're going to have a live show on May 6th to celebrate the very first episode of Real Housewives of New York City. So that's May 6th. You can get tickets at watchitcrappins.com. There's a little thing that says watch here. Just click that and it'll take you to the ticket link. This is an on-demand video episode, which means you can see it. Okay. Lucky you. I look adorable today. I haven't shaved in a week and a half. We're doing that. Our bonus, we did a lot. We did extra stuff this week. Our bonus was Beverly Hills, but that was free. So if you guys like that, want the video, just come over here. Okay, so we've got that, the live show. Oh, we're doing a Waffle and Peloton event. It's called the Peloton Waffleton. Okay, and that's on this Saturday. Couple days from now. It's at 11 a.m. Pacific time. Just go onto our Instagram Live, and Ben will be doing his Peloton, and I'll be showing you how to make my not at all famous waffles. Okay?
Same time. That's right. We are having an event where you can either choose to ride Peloton or make waffles. This is a real thing that we are doing. Yeah. I am just looking at myself in this webcam, and I've had too many waffles. I've gained 3 pounds over the past week, so I am excited to hop back on that bike because, you know,
I
haven't been on it in a few days.
I did lose a little weight though. You know why?
Why?
trimmed my nose hairs. That had to have been at least a quarter of a pound. I mean, those Lebanese nose hairs, when you get older, no joke. I mean, I could braid that shit. I could braid that shit and escape a castle window. Okay. It's like, damn, wow. So long.
Wow. You'd be like nose Rapunzel.
Lebanese Rapunzel.
Well, I'm proud of you for trimming your nose hairs and losing a quarter of a pound. I'm jealous. I need to find a quarter of a pound somewhere. But until then, let's talk about Real Housewives of New Jersey. And maybe by the time we're done with the recap, we will have lost a little bit of weight. Who knows?
Okay. You know what? I think you're a sloppy drunk. That's what I think.
Yeah.
So that was previously.
I was going to say also previously. It said previously, and you see Dolores in David's kitchen saying, David, the new refrigerator has the water dispenser inside, which was funny to me because A, it turns out I have the same fridge. And B, I like that they're like, wait, if you haven't watched yet, here's what you have to know. David has a water dispenser inside his fridge. Okay, you're set. You're good for this episode.
You know what, David? What are you afraid that I'm going to have a better fridge, so I'm not going to come back to your fridge? You know what? I'm sorry, David, but I didn't get the ring. And so we're not going to talk about the water dispenser inside the door right now.
So we're seeing lots of things happening around New Jersey. Melissa's with Joey Jr. talking about school or whatever. Or he has a girlfriend at school. He's like, Mom, I don't know.
Because, of course, they have the kid that goes to school in full cologne, you know? And, you know, it's like the Dom or something. Because she's like, wow, you smell so handsome. I was like, please don't have the kid that goes to school in full cologne. And you know that, of course, Joe Gorga's son does.
Yeah, you know, like, I kind of get the feeling like there's a lot of little boys in New Jersey that wear cologne to school. I just feel bad for those teachers. I mean, how much Dracar Noir can you really take in? Yeah. So then we see Melania is doing her Zoom schoolwork in the kitchen. And then Jackie's kids are all learning. And Jackie is planning. She's getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. And she's, you know, figuring out how many matzo balls to make for next week. So, and then Evan is like, what about the bacon? Are we going to have any bacon for Rosh Hashanah?
Yeah, that's the typical Gentile joke, right? It's like a waiter who's always hearing. He's Jewish? I thought she was Jewish. Is he the Jewish? Are they both Jewish?
They're both Jewish. It was a little like, hey, it was like a joke. It was like bacon. It reminds me of the one time that show Nurses. Do you remember that show Nurses? There was the doctor who was Jewish.
Am I brain dead? Yes, I remember the show Nurses.
The terrible sitcom that was like,
how dare you,
the spinoff of Empty Nest. And there was like, I remember there once was an episode where someone was asking the doctor what kosher is or something, and I don't know, he just sort of like shrugged it off, and then he goes, I'll have a ham sandwich, because they were in the cafeteria. And my mom was like, I don't appreciate that joke. That wasn't a very nice joke.
So then we go to Jen's, and Gabby's kids really do have it made, because she's like, hey honey, how's your homework going? You want some Chick-fil-A? Which is like the best school lunch ever. Those kids are hooked up. I mean, they can do their work. They can eat some homophobic chicken. They can look out the window and see them all, you know?
Yeah. She's getting it all. Those kids are getting it all. So then now Jennifer's hanging out with her mom, Josephine, and they're looking at videos of, you know, the new baby that Jennifer's brother and Melda made in Turkey. Yeah. And, you know, Josephine's like, oh, so cute. And Jennifer's like, hey, Mom, you should have gone to Turkey. You should have done it, baby.
Yeah, she basically says her mom's so mad at the dad that she's like cutting herself off from really good experiences, like meeting little sacks of goo, you know, across the world and stuff. And, you know, I kind of agree with Jen. I mean, if I'm not happy, I'll ruin your fucking day, not my own. Why would I make myself unhappy because I don't like you? Okay. Single forever. And Jen's like, you know, Gabby, you know, look at Gabby. She was so snotty to me right now. And Gabby wasn't snotty to her at all, which is so Jen. You know, I like that Jen kind of has housewives fights at homes too. Like, hey, Gabby, you want some Chick-fil-A? No, thanks, Mom.
Oh, really? You snotty little hormonal teenager? Really? You want to pay something?
This is why we can't keep a housekeeper.
Sorry, Mom, for cursing.
So
she's like, she's menstrual or something. I don't know what's wrong with her, mother. She's got problems. And the mom's like, please, you were way worse than her. Okay.
Yeah, she's just like, what are you talking about? Gabby is angel. You are way worse, way worse. You had more hormone.
Editor, so, could you please put up picture of my daughter in crop top, short skirts, and feather boa, please? That would be great. They love using that picture.
They do.
You know, my mother, I would always get so frustrated with her. She once signed me up for an SAT class 2 blocks away, baby. But she'd drop me off and then I'd go and hang out with my friends. You know what we'd do? We'd go to a cafe and I'd sit on the stairs and have people look at me. Just a one girl in a cafe on the stairs, baby.
So she's telling her mom, you know, typical Jen style, how everyone is like, Marge is just so mean to her and she doesn't understand why. It's like, why is this lady so mean to me? Like, I just don't get it. She's being judgmental about my drinking. And the mom's like, she has no right to do that. She's like, yeah, I mean, this barking dog could do anything to get me, Ma. I mean, look at my husband. How could you criticize my husband? I mean, he's the best husband ever. Everyone's jealous of my husband, baby. My husband is the equivalent of 18 toilets. No one's criticizing Bill. Marge loves Bill. She's criticizing you.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, Bill is the best guy ever. I mean, you're so lucky. And you know what? Your father, he is not man enough, okay? He's not a husband. He never was a father. Did he ever come to school? Take you to do something? Did he ever say, I love you? She's like, yeah, Mom, all the time. No, but did he say, I love you? Yeah, Mom. Huh. No, but like, love you. Mom, you're not going to win this one.
Yeah. She's like, well, Mom, I don't have any bad memories of Dad. She goes, yeah, because he was never there. She goes, well, that's true. He was never there, but I loved him. And the mom's like, yeah, you know, this is what I heard from your father. Get my slippers. Get my dinner ready. You know, everything was about him, the whole entire marriage. And I was like, oh, my God, Joe, how old is Joe Gorga? And how many times has he been married?
I love Josephine's melodramatic season. She is so melodramatic. I'm not taking away from what she went through, and I'm not invalidating how she feels, but I am enjoying how melodramatic she is expressing these things, because it is just so melodramatic. Like, get my slippers, buy me a cigar. Oh, it's just so hilarious.
I know you're going
to
be shocked to hear this, but I'm totally team her. And I hope that she, you know, pushes her husband down the stairs after listening to some of this stuff. Because she's like, well, Jen tells us that her mom was 16 and the dad was 26. And it was an arranged marriage, which was basically a forced marriage in this case, because she did not want this. And she was begging to not have to marry this guy. And then they made her. Their parents were like, it will be great family shame if you don't do it. And so then she immediately got pregnant, and he moved her to America, where she didn't know anybody, didn't know the language. You know, I mean, this sucks. And he's just like, what?
I think that, like, her feelings are very valid. And I understand why she's frustrated. It's, you know, she has been trapped in a situation she never wanted to be in. Or, you know, how she perceives to be trapped. She could have actually left him a very long time ago, but she didn't. But, like, she I think that her feelings are totally, totally valid. But I just feel like the way she's expressing them is, like, hilariously melodramatic.
Well, it's not like when you're repressed and you're never really able to speak your mind. And then the first time you say fuck you. And, I mean, I remember when I did it, like, my first fuck you was amazing. And I still haven't stopped. I mean, look at me now. I'm an old person and I still do it. I was like, hey, welcome, you know, welcome to Home Goods. I'm like, fuck you. Even if it's just in my head, I'm like, fuck you. What are you standing by the carts? I don't have someone else to do that. Fucking idiot. You know, it's like, okay, you just told off the greeter at Home Goods in your mind for no good reason, you know? Like, what'd that poor guy do?
Whenever you get your voice for the first time, it always sort of comes out in this sort of way. And I guess what makes it funny is that she's being very, very melodramatic, but everyone around her isn't. And I think that's what is so funny, because everyone's like, yes, but mom, you got to relax. She's like, but the slippers.
Like, yeah, because no one even understands. It's like, hi, I was, think about this. Like, how old is Gabby, her daughter Gabby? Like 14, maybe?
13 or 14.
No, 13 or 14. So that means, like, could you imagine them forcing Gabby to marry, like, Austin from Southern Charm, you know? And then it's like, bye, move to a place. And then, you know, she feels mistreated her whole life, and everybody's like, what are you talking about being mistreated? No one here feels mistreated. It's like, well, yes, Jennifer, of course you don't feel fucking mistreated. Your dad bought you a feather boa and a wig and a crop top, you know,
when you were young. And took you to the cafe where you could sit on the stairs. No, I actually totally agree with you. I'm not even debating that. I'm just I'm just loving Josephine like getting her voice and being melodramatic with it. It's like,
well, I love her like taking dream. Like turning it immediately around. It's like, where's Bill today? Oh, he's on his way home. What a good man. Unlike your father, who isn't exactly. a man at all.
Exactly. It's like she might as well be played by Tyne Daly or something.
Well, I also come from a white version of Josephine. And her name is Rhonda Fien, okay? It's like, how was your day, Ronnie? Good. Oh, well, obviously you weren't in the same parking lot I was today. It's like, oh, God, here she goes.
I'm the same parking lot I was in. So she's like, I gave him 48 years of my life. I mean, I do feel bad. This woman was 100% trapped in a situation she didn't want to be in. And it is remarkable that they don't really seem to have that much empathy for her. So, yeah. But I think it, or, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they don't have empathy, or maybe she's just been talking about this for so long that they're finally like, just mom, you got to move on. It's either you leave dad or you move on. But like, cause that sort of sounds like where they're at too. They're like, we want you to get divorced. Stop. Who knows? The Aiden family is a mystery for the ages.
So then we go over to Jackie, who's having lunch with Marge and Melissa. And, let's see. What is
Melissa Jackie? Has a great anecdote.
Okay, yeah. Melissa's so full of it today, by the way. But go ahead. Melissa, okay, shows up in a brand, like some knockoff Chinatown splashed across her chest in every scene she's in today, by the way. Right now is the Versace? Which one is right now? So it's like Gucci, her t-shirt to go to lunch. Okay, we get it. You're so U-C-H-I. Poor, and you're going to – this. I'm going to call it – this couple's going to be the next – Dorit or Erica or one of those who, I mean, that's not really that psychic.
I mean,
I guess you don't really have to be a psychic to know. You just have to have Instagram pretty much to know that this is coming.
So Melissa's like, I did all this work to make little Joey look cute for school and I dressed him up and everything and I dropped him off. And he's like, Ma, I'm the only kid who didn't have a pencil in school. I felt so stupid and have a pencil for little Joey.
I was like, great story, Melissa.
Yeah, are you stupid for leaving the pencil out or stupid for raising a child who doesn't know he's going to need a pencil at school and isn't expected to check his own damn bag? Don't raise another Joey Gorga, okay? Who's like, what? I didn't have a pencil because Melissa. Your kid needs to have some fucking agency, okay? He should know that he needs a pencil. Cologne.
Are we not handing out pencils because of COVID these days? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I guess.
We'll just have to ask, you know. I don't know. So so Marge's like, well, you know, it's very stressful having kids. You know, you got to get the pencils all the time, put them in cologne. It's very hard to remember. You know, it's funny because I was reflecting on all my childhood when I was writing this book. Guess what? I just pivoted towards me. You know, I learned from Josephine, okay? I pivoted towards me. I'm writing a book, okay? And you know what? Like, I remember going out with my mother when I was younger, and she would just, you know, she was young and she was hot. And I basically learned that, like, to get ahead in life, it doesn't matter if you're smart. You just have to have, you know, good looks and sexuality, and you get ahead like that. And that's what I learned, okay? Are we talking about the pencil still, okay? Because I think I brought it to a different place,
you know. But and then, you know, Jen brings it up and said, you know, uses that sexual harassment against me. I mean, who does that? Who would judge somebody for something like that, you know? Oh, and then Joe. Okay, so here we go, we're back to pencils. Joe, okay. Joe was very upset. I didn't even realize till we got in the car. I said, you know what, Joe, you seem so upset. Did Melissa forget to put a writing device in your backpack? Tell me the truth.
Right, Joe. Yeah, you know how hard it is when you're trying to write down the lines for a practical joke and you can't have a pencil, so you can't have to memorize it all. You know how hard that is, huh?
So she's like, you know, but here's what I think's going on. Listen, you've grown into just such a different woman. You know, you're just so different. I mean, last year you were Faco with fake Versace, and this year you're Faco with fake Versace, but you know what? Your lake house is cleaner. So you've changed very much, and he just needs to realize that. Okay.
She's like, well, you know, we made it a commitment, and, you know, maybe I'm breaking it, and I feel horrible about that, you know? Like, no, Melissa, stop saying these things. You know, it's just like, You know what? When I was younger, I used to listen to whatever Joe told me, and I thought that was love. Like, he would say things like, stand over there. So I did. Don't go to the bachelorette party. So I did. Get me a pencil. So I did. So now I'm kind of, like, not doing those things as much anymore, you know, like, not giving pencils to people. And, like, I think he's having trouble with that.
Yeah, I mean, every time Melissa describes her relationship, I'm like, oh, so you're, like, trying to make it okay with the horrible husband in a Lifetime movie that ends up chasing you with a knife, because that's how she describes him every time. She's like, yeah, you know, it was always so great. It's like, when we first got married, I couldn't leave the house, and then if there were bachelorette parties of my best friends, I couldn't even go. I mean, isn't that romantic? Hi, you're going to have to kill him 3 times because they never die the first one on Lifetime. I'm warning you right now, Melissa.
Check under the car. Check under the car. He could be just like latched on. I guess that's more Cape Fear, but either way. So, so anyway, so Teresa's going to be having some sort of a party with a psychic, and she invited everyone, including Jackie. And now Margaret has it in her mind that Teresa is seeing someone, which, as we all know, Teresa does have a new boyfriend, Luis, and they have like a new big mansion together. And, you know, so this is something that's happening. So now we're getting the first inklings of it. So Margaret's like, you know what? She's been, you know, she said she went to a soccer tournament. Okay, guess what? Not one picture posted. Okay, she posts a picture of oatmeal every single day. Okay, and like, you know, I can show one picture of Audrey on a soccer game. All right, you know what? It's very suspicious. It's like when Joe all of a sudden knows how to make iced coffee. Very suspicious.
I mean, if you're constantly talking about tasting pineapple, then someone's probably eating your pineapple bush. All right. I think that they probably all know, like, Teresa probably has told them, but it's not supposed to be on TV yet or something. So they're all, yeah, like, they're trying kind to, of like, inching around it. And Melissa's, yeah, like, oh, my God, I'm the worst liar. So basically, she doesn't tell them, but they're hoping to find out from this psychic. So then we go home with Dolores. We go to Dolores's house, who's with her little dogs, and the closed, yeah, captioning says, line trilling. It's like, oh, I like when this show gets like 50s on us.
And you know what's so weird is that when we were looking at Dolores with her dogs, I actually thought to myself, oh, remember Boo? Not knowing that Boo would come up later in the episode. And also, speaking of Boo and dogs that have moved on to another realm, Countess Luann's dog, Aston, passed away, aww, yesterday, which is very sad. So this is like a ode to our furry little friends who've moved on moment here.
That's so. That week on Bravo. Love you, Xena. Love you, Heaven, Xena.
Oh, Xena.
Yeah, Boo. And I was just thinking, isn't that cute? Like, it's so smart to name your dog something that a ghost would say, you know, because like Cameron's like, oh, is my dog still a ghost and stuff? And it's like, Boo, you know, well, he's here. So Dolores is talking about getting a biopsy. It's a biopsy.
She's
getting a biopsy. She's like, isn't it nuts? I was given the Ambassador of Hope Award for telling women to go get checked, and I didn't get checked. You know why? I care about everyone else more than me. Is that crazy? You know what? I'll go to the drive-in and I'll say, what do you want? We'll be driving home and I'll realize I have nothing to eat. You know, what do I do? You know, one day I'm just going to starve to death.
I go to the drive-in and I realize I never actually drove in. I just drove by, you know? You know, here's the thing. I just don't like going to the doctor. But enough about my relationship. So I haven't had a mammogram in a long time. And it came back abnormal. You know, and I was so surprised because, you know, she's talking about this very serious situation. And I was like, wow, Dolores is like, she's so like stone faced about this. She's like not even crying, you know, where like a lot of people in other episodes and in life would actually be very emotional about it. So, again, it's funny that later on it's mentioned that Dolores never cries. So she's talking about this mammogram. And then Frank walks in the door. Dolores, where are you? What are you doing? Dolores. I'm like, Frank. It's like there's 3 rooms on this floor. She's right there in the kitchen where she always is.
Yeah. And the dog's on the counter. And I was like, you know, this is the one time Ben's not going to be triggered that there's a dog on the counter. And you weren't, huh?
I wasn't because
it's Dolores. I think I was love distracted. Your Dolores.
It was Dolores. And I think I was more distracted because I remembered that the dog's name is Dog. So he's like, because Frank comes, he's like, I got to give you a kiss. Oh, I got to give a kiss to Dog. Hey, kiss the dog. Here you go.
Hey, Calvin. Hey, dog. So he's like, good news. Everything's going great with the new houses. Listen, I went to the new houses. There was nobody there with the baseball bat to ask for money. So guess what? I call that a success, Dolores.
did you put pebble tile in the houses? Please tell me you didn't put pebble tile in
you
there.
You know it costs more. Come on, Dolores. Tell the counter.
So, you look like you've been standing for too long. Yeah, let's go in the living room and you can sit in a strange wicker throne, okay? So they go into the living room to talk about this whole thing. And Dolores is like, so Frank, I have my biopsy next week. Oh, really? Oh, who's going with you, huh? No one. You didn't tell your mother? Are you kidding me, Frank? Are you kidding me? Did you tell Frankie? No, Frank. They're just like having this, like, she's just basically like, I'm not going to tell anyone.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not telling anyone. And then we get a clip of her mom and her sitting in the backyard and her mom going, you know what you need to do, Dolores? If, God forbid, something ever happens to you and you're in trouble, you got to tell the people you love, Dolores, because the people who love want to help you, too.
It's like, fine, Ma, but you got to be the same way, all right, cookie addict? All right, you can't be out of cookies and not tell anybody. You're going to waste away over here, Ma. I got to know.
It's like, all right, I will if you will.
It cuts back to her being like, hell no, I'm not telling my mother. Why the hell would I?
Mom, okay, question, Mom. What would you rather know? If I'm having a biopsy or if you can have a cookie? A cookie. Yeah, that's what I'm saying,
a
Mom.
A cookie.
So, yeah, Dolores is like, you know, Italians don't talk about their business, even to their own family, okay? I don't remember sitting at a table saying, I'm stressed about this. You just sort of handle it, okay? Like, when you're thinking to yourself, where am I going to get my water? Do you stress about it or you just open up the fridge and say, hey, there's a water dispenser inside the fridge. It's handled. It's taken care of.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? Is David going to go with you? No? Okay. Well, do you think he's ever going to call and ask you about the results, Dolores? All right. Listen, I like David, but I don't like certain things about David.
Okay. You're not wrong, but David did just take care of you. Okay.
That's
in his
true.
Secret, in his room with the secret bathroom behind. Does he have a room with a secret bathroom? Where did I hear that?
Yeah, well, there was like a – it was the office had like a thing. And yeah, I don't remember if it was a secret bathroom.
Was it a hidden room? Why am I thinking that? I'm watching too much HGTV. Oh, it was on Rock the Block, I think. Someone had like a secret pantry or something. Sorry,
I think there was a secret – but there was a secret room in something else too that we – I mean, there are a lot of secret rooms. What can we say?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then over in at Teresa's house, Gia's sitting at the counter trying to do her work. And Teresa is just like making silverware noise. She's just taking silverware out of the dishwasher and just like, you know, being really loud, like putting it in the drawer. And Gia's like, Ma, could you not do this right now? Just, Gia, what's wrong? Like the noise, Ma, the noise. I got to clean for the bodies. It's like, you don't have to take the stuff out of the dishwasher, Ma. Wow, why'd you say?
Because it's enough silverware for an army. I mean, I know she's got a lot of kids, but damn, how big is her dishwasher? She's got like two hands full of silverware. It's like.
<I know. laughs> So then we have like now a montage of everyone announcing that they're going to a psychic party. So first you have Joe, guess what? Okay, guess what? I'm getting ready to go for the psychic party. Okay, you ready for that? I'm going to a psychic party. Okay, put on your stripes and make yourself some iced coffee. Oh, Joe, put the coffee in the radiator. Okay, that's not how it works.
It's like, what? You know what? Is this dress too revealing? He goes, yeah, you can see right through that dress. And she's like, well, only if there's light shining on it. And he's like, so are you going to a seance in the dark? No, you're not. Pick something else.
And then Jackie is with Evan and she goes, so I'm going to get ready for my psychic reading where I'm going to find out if I'm going to love daddy forever. Just kidding. I already know the answer. And then she kisses Evan and then Hudson, her son, was like, he's mine. Which is cute.
Also, we need you to ask better questions. Okay. I mean, this is not the season that you go in and say, well, I love Evan forever. Get your ass in there and say, what is Evan doing at the gym? Okay.
It would have been a great opportunity. Great opportunity.
Yeah. Don't waste your free psychic reading. Come on. Mm-hmm. So then over at Jen's house, she's like, you know what? I'm going to Teresa's psychic party, kids, so you better help me clean up. I don't even have a housekeeper. I don't have a nanny. I don't have a housekeeper nanny. Sorry for cursing so much, kids. I said housekeeper.
So it's just that Gabby's been so hormonal. I can't help it. It sort of spreads off onto me, baby.
So, and then Melissa is nervous because she doesn't want to talk to a psychic. She only likes mediums. because, or maybe, or is the plural of mediums media? I don't know. But she only likes mediums because she doesn't want to know what's happening in the future. She only wants to know about if she has maybe a sister that she could base a storyline off of for a season.
Right? Did she forget about that whole thing? So wait, was that a psychic? Is that why she's trying to separate the two? Did she go to a medium before that told her that she had a sister?
Not only a medium. It wasn't just a medium, Ronnie. It was a simple girl who just heard dead folks all her life. That's all. Remember that lady? They showed her.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm
yeah.
just a simple girl who hears dead folks all her life. And you have a sister you don't know about. Okay, bye.
Bye. That'll be $500. So yeah, she's very religious, guys. So she doesn't she doesn't want to talk to a psychic.
Yeah. Yeah, she's afraid to hear about things she doesn't want to know about, I think. It was more the issue.
So then Dolores is like, oh my God, what if she says I'm getting married? And Frank's like, I'll call David and I'll kill him.
And Margaret's like, you know, I want to ask the psychic about Teresa's sex life. You know, that seems like a good use of, you know, speaking to spirits on the other side. I'm sure that's the last thing. I'm sure that's what they are excited to talk about. Teresa having sex, okay?
You know, have you guys seen, the Instagram video, Joe? I mean, it's just ridiculous, Joe. And then we see Jen's Instagram video and she's like, you guys on Instagram, anybody babies? Listen, it's me. I'm desperate. Does anybody have a housekeeper? Please, I'm dying over here. I've got kids. I need a housekeeper, baby. Okay? And she's like, I'm so embarrassed.
Back to her country.
Sorry. You're very privileged. You know, I'm just so embarrassed for her, Joe. I just can't. Like, there are people that are dying, Kim. Do you know what I'm saying, Joe?
You know what? It's just like Melissa's first single. You know, it's tone deaf. Everything is tone deaf. So Joe B goes, my psychic premonition is that things are not going to go well tonight. You know what, Joe? Leave the comedy up to me. All right, enough. Take a shower. So
that was not Joe. That was not Joan approved. Joe, just be quiet.
Joan, right? I'm sorry. Don't listen to my husband. He's not the Joker in the house. Okay, it's me. So now we go back to Teresa's for this big thing, and she's got some sushi, and she's putting together some sort of cheese plate, and Gia's just being such a Gia just now just sits at that counter and just hounds her mother. She's like, Mom, are you gonna put some chips around that cheese? Like, what are you doing, Mom? Why are you making it like that, Mom? And she's like, Gia, this is not my first time doing this, okay?
She's having a sushi day with tortilla chips that look like Doritos and salsa. Sounds delicious, okay? I wouldn't guess that you do this all the time. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. So the psychic Gina Marie comes in, which I don't know about you, Ronnie, but I immediately had like flashbacks to Big Brother, that crazy racist
Gina
girl,
Marie. Yes. She comes in from Staten Island.
Who was obsessed with Nick, and Nick now hosts that terrible reality show about glass blowing on Netflix. So she's like, this is my daughter, it's Gia. And Gia's like, could you please read me? And Gia's sort of like talking, and she has her hands kind of like, you know, sort of like, you can't, if you're watching, you can see my hands are like making a little bridge. Yeah. And Gina Marie's like, you know why you're holding your hands like this right now? It's your Nona saying, hey, tell her my hands don't hurt no more. And she's like, oh my God, her hands hurt before.
She goes, well, okay, I got to go. I've got a call now. It's like, that was your reading? I need more. That's why I don't go to psychics or mediums. I want more. It's like, okay, tell my Cynthia I love her. Now move her aside and ask other people if I'm going to be rich or not. Okay, like, I need more also, than to talk with my lovely grandmother.
Also, if your grandmother is trying to communicate with you, are you really going to be like, that's great, grandma from beyond the grave? I have a Zoom with my sorority, so yeah. I'll be back.
Yeah, exactly. So Marge comes in wearing a psycho sweet but psycho jacket. And Melissa comes in wearing her Versace shirt. And Melissa's like, oh, hi, Gina Marie. So you're a medium? She's like, yes, you know, and I'm getting information from spirit guides. Okay, I'm getting spirit guide information, and I'm also a psychic. And Melissa's like, oh my God, I'm so conflicted. I don't believe in psychics, but I love mediums. Now what do I do?
She's so tormented. So then Jackie shows up, and everything is like really warm between her and Teresa. It's like they never had a deep, you know, vitriolic feud. And then Margaret comes by, and she's telling everyone that like her book is going really well, and she invites them all to go on to her ghostwriter's yacht next week. I'm like, damn, I didn't know there was that much money in ghostwriting. Emily, good for you. You have a yacht.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not a ghost yacht. You know, it's just like invisible. So we're going swimming? Or how is this? You just can't see it, okay? It's there. Nope. You just can't see it.
Hopefully it's not one of those, like, fake yachts that people on Below Deck put on their resumes when they apply to be, like, second stew, and then it turns out they don't know how to fold a towel because they've been working on a quote-unquote yacht.
Yeah, that was Long John Silver, sir. Okay. So then Jackie is talking about how she doesn't like boats because I get seasick. And Teresa goes, oh, yeah, I like boats because I like the motions of the oceans. They're like, oh, that means sex, Teresa. She's like, yeah, I like the motion. Like, man.
So Michelle, the realtor, shows up she says that she left her baby at home or whatever. It comes up that she has a baby and it's at home. And Margaret's like, oh, really? Do you have a nanny? Do you have a nanny? Okay. Anyone ready for the segue here? Oh, look, you have a nanny. Maybe you should find someone for Jennifer, huh? Did anyone see her Instagram live last night? It was totally tone deaf. Okay. Melissa, sing a song so everyone gets an idea of what it sounds like. Okay.
Yeah, she's like, I have no hired help. I mean, I'm like, people are waiting for the second stimulus. Come on, Jennifer. Come on. And Teresa goes, yeah, tell me about it. I'm waiting to be stimulus today, too. They're like, no, Teresa. It's not about you getting laid, okay? Also, this girl, Michelle, I support all new people. I think everybody deserves a chance. Michelle, fix your eyebrows, okay? When you're getting your eyebrows colored on, make sure that you move your face so you see where they actually... Because she does that thing where she gets them, like, I guess they're microbladed, but they also, like, dye them onto you. That they're, like, straight across, and then they just turn into L's and go straight down your temples. Like, what is that supposed to do? Why are you blocking in your eyes? It's very confusing.
Yeah, like,
you look like an angry bird. Stop it.
I know exactly what she's going to look like when she's 83 years old. You know, like, I know exactly how that face will translate to a little old lady. I'm not saying she looks like a little old lady, but with those eyebrows, you really get a clear sense of, like, she'll be one of those little old ladies that has, like the tattooed eyebrows and the very intense, like magic marker makeup, you know, and be like, back in my day, I was selling mansions in New Jersey, huh? That's Michelle as an 83-year-old.
Yeah, she's got like two little lines right here, like little field goal posts. Like her husband probably sits at dinner and just like folds up a piece of paper and flicks it at her face. Like, why do you keep doing that? Don't put a field goal thing on your face, all right? You did this to you.
Field goal makeup.
So they're like, Jen doesn't really get it, right? So she's like, oh yeah, I don't know if you saw my Instagram, but I'm looking for a housekeeper because I've been washing things. And I mean, look, I usually call them a nanny, not a housekeeper, because calling them a housekeeper, that's just degrading, baby. Nobody wants to be called a housekeeper.
I like that's Jennifer's an actual job. Attempt at wokeness. It's like, no, this is not the, like, housekeeper is the job. It's housekeeper is actually the more respectful version of, like, maid or whatever. Like, this is her attempt to be, like,
she's such a dope.
To be, like, open-minded.
Yeah,
she's
like,
look at me, I'm changing in 2020, baby. I don't say housekeeper anymore.
I said nanny. I'm like, isn't... Well, it's nothing. There's nothing offensive about being a nanny either, but it's just like a totally different. I kind of feel like if I were brought in to be a housekeeper and I was referred to as a nanny, I'd be like, I'm not a nanny.
Yeah. So Marge is like, well, I'm just saying, you know what? It was a little cringe. And she's like, oh, really? Well, your jacket says sweet, but psycho, but there's nothing sweet about Marge.
Good one, Jennifer. So now they go into the living room, this very sterile living room. For this psychic session. And so Gina Marie starts with Margaret and she's like, okay, is there a father figure that's crossed over and connected to the name Bernie? And Margaret's like, yes, actually. So Jan's father was named Bernie, and that was Margaret's like favorite man in the entire world. And if she said, you know what, if Bernie was still alive, I'd be still married to Jan. Okay, that's how much I love this man. So she's sort of already like losing her mind about this.
Could have been Bernie Madoff, you know?
That's what I was thinking. Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, same week. It's weird when that happens. See ya, sucker.
Bernie Madoff died this week? I thought Bernie Madoff died a long time ago.
I think everybody did, because I think we all was read Bernie Madoff Bernie died. Madoff?
Maybe there was a dog named Bernie Madoff.
Oh, Bernie Madoff died this week, and everybody was like, he just died? Wow.
I thought he no. Wait, Bernie Madoff? I thought he died what? He did. He died yesterday.
Yeah, he died. He just died. See you later, sucker. Let's see. Marge tells her story. So then it's Michelle's turn, and Gina Marie is like, hey, Michelle, do you have a grandfather that passed? And, you know, I feel like that's, of course, we all have a grandfather who've passed. Like, when you're a certain age, it's like a kind of obvious thing to ask, right? Mm-hmm. But then she goes, from Portugal? And she's like, whoa!
Yeah, which was pretty cool. I was like, wow, this woman's good. And then she goes, and then something about the number 26. And she goes, 26, that's when my baby was born. I was like, okay, that's a good one too. Wasn't as good as Portugal, I guess. And
do
then
flick folded up pieces of paper between your eyes? Yes and no. Yes, I don't know why. I don't know why that keeps happening.
Your husband. Terrible hair, right? Yes. Oh my god. The spirits want him to use less product.
So Dolores, I'm seeing a set of grandparents here. Your grandma, was she old as fuck? And she's like, oh my god, she was 105. She's like, well, your grandfather says brace yourself for something physical, you need to go get checked. And I was like, whoa,
yeah,
that better not be true.
That's pretty crazy, because, you know, some of the things, it's like, you know, it's the usual thing where it's like, okay, this woman could have searched, looked something up. But this is, you know, this was like the biopsy thing was pretty, felt like it was pretty hush hush. So, so she was talking, you know, Dolores is saying like, well, you know, this is nice, but I never really felt alone with my parents, you know, grandparents, etc. And then Gina Marie goes, okay, now, Dolores, what's with the house crumbling? I'm sensing something crumbling. Do you have an ex who flips houses and skimps on materials and then he messes the wrong people and they bash in his knees? Well, I mean, there is Frank. I mean, there's Frank, you know.
Actually, talking about crumbling, I was just in Melissa's guest bathroom and did a knock on marble thing and it crumbled apart. So are you sure I'm just not sitting in the right place here? The first thing when she said house crumbling, I was like, oh my god, she's coming for the Gorgas, and Melissa's just sitting in the wrong spot.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, so basically they ask if David's a soulmate, and Jen's like, well, you ask her if she's a soulmate. You're the psychic. Come on, grandma lady. And so she's like, no, I'll tell you if you want. You want me to tell you? No, he's not. He's not your soulmate.
However, there's a lover out there for you, and you guys have chemistry like you've never had before, but you're not going to experience it until you're free. And so Dolores is like, okay. Well, maybe David and I will part gracefully. I'm okay with that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so far, Dolores has been told she needs to get checked because she might have something really, really wrong with her. And she does not have a soulmate in David, right? And she's like, fine. You know what I love? Okay. Tortilla chips and sushi. I'll tell you that. Okay. Who knew?
And then Gina Marie is like, oh, another thing. Your grandparents are sitting on a couch together. They're both enjoying cookies. Do people like cookies in your family? Either way. And then a big dog jumps up and says, and they say, tell her that Boo is here. And then Dolores loses it.
She's like, oh,
she's like, boo, boo. And she starts sobbing.
Which, of course, I totally get, you know. But
I get that.
The
too,
ladies
actually.
Are like, what the hell? The lady was just told that she could be dying and that she, you know, she's with the wrong man and she's fine. But it's the dog? Yes, it's the dog. Yeah. My God.
Wow. So then we get Boo flashbacks, which is just very funny. Not funny, but sad, but like funny, because I was thinking about Boo earlier. Like, wow, this lady is psychic. Yeah. And then and Dolores is like, you know what? I sleep with Boo's ashes every night. I was like, oh, well, I'm like, this may explain some of the issues, the intimacy issues she's having with David. It's like, Dolores, how about tonight we don't bring the urn into bed? How about that, Dolores? Sorry, yeah. David.
Hey, David, you know what? Go sleep next to the refrigerator with that water in the door, okay? Stupid. So Melissa's like, you know what? I realized that this lady isn't a psychic. She's a medium. So I'm going to talk to her. It's like, okay, I'm really glad the storyline is being fleshed
what
out.
What a great
more,
emotional cause... arc for her. So excited for her.
So there's a male energy behind you, and he's saying, Daddy's here. And then he's saying, where's my dinner? And then he's saying, no, you are not going to a bachelor party. Then he's saying, you better get those towels in line or I'm going to. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I've left my text on. She's like, oh, yeah. Just...
And then she does say, is there a piece of broken foundation that needs to be fixed? I'm like, she really does understand Joe Gorga.
Yes, all over the city.
Well, so this medium seemed really good, but I was very amused when she said this. How does the number 5 resonate with you? The number 5. I was like, that is like the most generic reading of all time. I think everyone could bring 5 into their lives in some way. She's like, 5, it's work related. She goes, 5 years ago, I started Envy.
Well, I don't think she ever even says it, does she? They just put on the screen 5 years ago. And she's like, that's I'm starting Envy. Melissa never gets it. It's her 5-year anniversary for Envy.
So, yeah, she basically asks if she's working too much and is she ruining anything. And she's like, they say no. Don't doubt yourself. You'll be out of business soon enough and you can go back to being a wife. Don't worry about it.
You weigh yourself out. Teresa's like, that's good to hear. And then Gina's like, Jackie, how are you connected to a woman named Esther? She's like, that's my dad's mom. She's like, oh, well, she's rooting you on. She's very, very proud of you. And so we hear about her grandma and how her parents didn't really get her eating disorder, so she felt so alone. And she hasn't even talked about the rumor that Teresa has spread with her family because she knows that they'll just hurt for her. And so she's glad to know that her grandma's out there rooting for her.
Yeah, it felt kind of like they were just kind of trying to create more of an exciting thing about this Esther moment than was there. And then now it's Jennifer's
turn. Every grandma's just came through and just said, hey, everybody, the Gorgas do shoddy work on their houses and foundation. I just wish they all were like, you know somebody who's got shaky foundations.
Yeah.
Hey, you've got shaky foundations. You know somebody who uses fake marble. And you also know somebody with a cracked foundation. So.
Yeah, how many spirits have to give us clues about shaky foundations and crumbling before someone realizes this is not a metaphor, that there's like a real issue with some of Gorga's construction?
Yeah,
so
some
now
pipes are about to burst, baby.
So now it's Jennifer's turn, and she has a ton of spirit guides. And it's like, is there anyone like in your family who is religious or something? And she's like, well, I mean, I do have a great great uncle who was a martyr during the American genocide, and the Pope later called him a saint. I was like, what? your great great uncle was like sainted by the Pope? Jennifer Aiden is related to an actual saint? No.
I wish I'd been there so I could wear my favorite bow and crop top, baby.
I just wish my great great uncle was still alive this day, because then maybe he could take care of the house, right? Takes a cent to raise this family, baby.
And the Pope ordained him, you know, and she's like, yeah, well, he says that, you know, you seem to be stuck in two places. She's like, do either of those places have a housekeeper, baby? She's like, you know what? I just want my parents to get along. And the psychic's like, well, does your mom perceive herself as abused? And she's like, yeah, she does. And she's like, well, you're enabling your father. You know, you need to tell your mom that you understand her and you understand what she's going through and that she's right.
Which is like sort of like one of those things where it's like, why hasn't Jennifer thought of this already? You know? So
I don't even phrase, does your mother perceive that she was does your mother perceive herself as abused? Yeah. Because that shit's rancid. And she's like, you know, in Turkey, divorce is taboo, but the men have all the power. So, you know, I need to let my mom know that, yeah, I can see her side of that.
Yeah. And now, of course, it's time for Teresa. So Nono is standing beside her. And does Nono drink Blue Label? And Teresa's like, yeah. And, you know, love is in the air. And she says that like Nono and Nona are embracing Teresa's relationship. So Mark was like, see, even the psychic says that she's getting it. Okay. Like, it's in the universe. Like, all the ghosts, they know that she's boning someone. Okay. That's what's going on here. Joan. Okay. I have a question. Can we speak to Joan Rivers? Okay. Joan, is Teresa boning someone? All right. You'll get back to me. Fine. All right. I'll be waiting.
So then we go to Jackie's house and she's getting ready for Rosh Hashanah. None of the kids are helping. And she's like, how am I supposed to have a peaceful new year when my kids aren't even helping me? And later we find out that the whole thing was catered, which I love.
Yeah. She has a pizza stone in her oven. Have you ever had a pizza stone, Ronnie?
I used to. Yeah. I had a pizza phase, a pizza crust phase.
So I actually have one, not to make pizza, but, I hear that it's actually makes, it like makes the temperature in your oven more consistent. Have you heard anything about that?
No.
I'm like, that's I want to cool. stop this entire recap because I have pressing questions about my pizza stone. And I thought like you'd have all my pizza stone answers because sure I got it because my oven is like very intense. And I saw from an internet video that like, if you put a pizza stone in there, it also will like help protect things that you cook in there from the intensity of the heat coming from the bottom. And I just don't know if it's like, if that's true or not. Oh, no, this is my question. I'm like, let me just like stall and just talk randomly about pizza stones. To people who have pizza stones, can you put a dish on a pizza stone in the oven? Like if you have, let's say I have to roast some veggies and I have like a tray, you know, or a baking sheet. Can you put that on the pizza stone to bake, or does it have to go on a separate rack? I would like people to.
I would guess that you could. I mean, I don't know for sure, but I would guess that you could.
I think you could, but I just don't know. And so I honestly would love to know.
Pizza stone isn't about making it hotter. It's about making the crust cook evenly, right?
Yeah. It's yes, exactly.
Yeah, so I would think, but what do I know? You know what?
I just don't
listen to me. Listen to a professional.
Can I ask? You know? I'd like to ask the spirits. Okay. I'd like to ask Grandma Esther. Can you put a sheet pan on a pizza stone? Thank
Grandma
you.
Grandma Esther's
that's my
like,
question.
Here's my answer. Joe Gorga does shoddy homes. Okay. That's it. Crack Gina Foundation.
Marie's like, I'm sensing a crumbled pizza stone. Does anyone have a crumbled pizza stone?
Gina Marie's like, I just wanted to say Esther says that a pizza stone would be more solid than a Joe Gorga foundation. Does that ring true with anybody?
I mean, the pizza stone's in a relationship. We can all admit that, right? So, okay, so it's Rosh Hashanah, and Jackie is happy knowing that Grandma Esther's looking over her. And so all the grandparents come over and there's like a little service where the grandma, what's her face, talks about Rosh Hashanah and why they eat pomegranates and apples and honey and all that stuff. And then Jackie starts telling the family about the psychic. And she's like, yeah, I went to the psychic and, you know, they really communicated with my Grandma Esther. Remember Grandma Esther, everyone? Like she communicated with her. And Evan's like, yeah, but to be fair, 90% of Jewish grandmothers are named Esther. So...
Well, geez, let the woman have her moment, okay? Let her have her touching moment, Evan. And she's like, I'm going to just choose to believe it, okay? Because that's how we work in this family. It's all about what you choose to believe. And she tells us again, I choose to be less cynical and rigid and be more open to different energy because you have fun like that. No, to all of you asking me on Twitter, I'm still not giving Evan a blowjob. I just mean things like, you know, maybe now I'll go to lunch more with my friends.
Do you think these spirits are a little bored? I mean, I feel like
yes.
Like why are they always just watching? Like don't they want to like, you know, go hang out with their other spirit friends? I mean, they're all up there. Like it's always like, oh yes, your grandma and your grandpa are sitting on a couch and they say hi. I'm like, you're lying. They're out of dinner.
Yeah, hopefully. Like we had to pull them out of an amazing ghost Broadway show to ask them to talk to you. And they said that they're really busy. So if you want another session, we can try them again next time. That's what I want to hear.
Nona says she loves you, but next time give her a heads up because she was watching Hamilton and it was really hard to get tickets in heaven.
Please don't just ring on Esther's doorbell, okay?
Esther was watching
Esther's
Survivor.
Yes.
She was watching Survivor and she says hi, but she has to get back. It's a really good tribal council.
Esther's voting for the new Jeopardy host, okay? She does not have time for this shit.
So, very important thing happens next. Very, very important. We now go over, for the first time, I believe, this entire season, we head to Rails.
It's Rails, guys. Yeah. Okay, Rail-teenies!
Rail-teenies.
And Melissa's like, remember my birthday party here, Joe? Oh, God. Yeah, it was so fun the first time. Let's watch it again. She's like, oh, my God, I've had so much to drink. It's like, wow, that was a great flashback, guys.
I know. I like that the hostess said to them exactly what I imagine the priest said to them when they got married. You guys are going to be in the cave.
If you need a server, please feel free to go back, grab her by the hair, and drag her across the floor until you get what you want. Okay?
Yeah. So, yeah, they go down to the cave part of Rails. I was a little aghast at this because I thought it was like, oh, okay, they are going to have to do a scene where the two of them are alone in this cave. I was like, no, it was just like a full-on indoor, like the most indoor of indoors. It's like not even like indoors with the windows open. It was like we're putting a bunch of people without masks into a cave underground during COVID. And the waiters and waitresses are coming up and they have like black gloves on and they've got the mask. I mean, they look like they're like extras in The Nick or something like that, and they're just like all covered up, and then all these people just like, you know, like I think I'm gonna have the porta house. I'm like you guys are in a cave during a pandemic with their masks off.
I know,
very triggering for me.
So they talk about Melissa wanting to give Antonia the birds and bees talk because she could never talk about that stuff, you know, with her mom, and it really affected her later in life. Like, for example, when she was 9 years old, she sat on a lapsed boy, and her mom called her, you know, shameful, but she made $5, which led her down her romantic journey to meet Joe. I mean, isn't this touching?
So touching. So touching. So, so Joe's like, he's like, ah, no. Like, every time she's like, I just want to know, you know, like, you know, if she has sex, use a condom. He's like, I can't deal with this. This is so hard. So then he's like, you know, the first time I met you, you know, I knew you were going to be my wife. I knew because I was like, hey, girl, walk over here. Now walk over here. Now walk over here. And you did it all. I was like, oh, she's made for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. She's like, I was working 3 jobs when I met you. And he's like, yeah, you were a hustler. Like, I love these two never even understanding everything that they're putting on TV.
Yeah. It was like, you were a hustler, and I was like, I was going to take you to the penthouse. Because I was a real playboy, huh? So, he's like, I just don't want you to forget me. I don't want you to forget me. She's like, I'm not going to forget you. I'm right here, but you have to accept that there's a different stage of life going on. You know, it's not just like 3 toddlers and a wife cooking food. It's, you know, 3 adolescents and a wife cooking food. It's just a little different, you know?
It's really different now. Now open up, choo-choo, steak's coming into your mouth, okay? Very independent now.
He's like, all I'm saying is, you know, work, do what you're doing, you know? But you have to know how to shut it down and don't let it consume you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, there's none of this. The Envy Boutique is not consuming Melissa Gorga. Okay. She is not like, I can't think of a good
Envy
example.
Envy is like as big as a kiosk in a mall from everything that we know. Okay. Melissa is not spending 30 hours a day at Envy. Okay. It's not happening. I don't know if he's mad that she's on The Housewives, so she goes to a lot more parties now or whatever. Or maybe she's just sick of your misogynist ass, okay, telling her what to do all the time. She's going to get the hell out of the house, okay? I don't know. And frankly, I'm sick of caring. It's been like 3 years with you two acting like Melissa's in the opening of 9 to 5, okay? Melissa ain't walking down the New York City streets, you know, in her sneakers, getting ready to change in her heels for Dolly Parton's clicking her nails together, okay? That's not what Melissa is doing. Let's stop pretending.
Yeah, she's no Barbara Corcoran, all right? So then now we go over to Jen's house, and her dad, John, is just like sitting at the table as usual, like, ugh. And like, Josephine comes over, and Josephine's like, your door is always open, huh? Huh? And she's like, Mom, I opened it for you. So, and then we have we know this is going to be a confrontational scene because we've seen the previews, but first we have to deal with Olivia. She's like, I got my hands dirty, baby, mommy. So they have to clean her hands.
Hey, mama, I love making slime, baby. Hey, mama, how do I wash my hands? Baby, I got slime on them, baby.
I wish we had a nanny baby to take care of my daughter's slimy hands.
So she starts washing her hands with her, and she's like, it tickles, mama. She's like, yeah, it does, baby. Now go upstairs and have some fun. So then Jen's like,
so mom, the psychic, we went and saw a psychic, and this lady told me that you're right the whole time, and I need to acknowledge that you feel emotionally abused, mama.
Yeah. And she's like, I can't tell you
were wrong and how you feel if that's your truth, you know? It's like me saying there was a fox in the driveway and someone saying, no, it was a turtle, but it was a fox, baby.
So then John is like, but I didn't abuse her. I mean, do you see any time that I abuse her? I frail old man. And Jen, she's like,
if she believes she was abused, she has a right to feel how she feels, Pittsburgh.
And the mom's like, not all abuse is not beating people. There's emotional abuse. He never made me happy. Never in 41 years I could be sick in bed. And would he bring me tea? Never. And he's like, you're never happy. And she's like, I was happy before I was married, baby. He's like, you a liar, baby.
This was like a full-on scene out of like a play that I would see on Broadway. I felt like, and now poor Gabriella is there. Gabriella again, who is sort of, you know, young teenager. I was like, why have they not shooed this poor girl out of here? Because this is still pretty traumatic for someone to watch. And then she's like crying over there. But Josephine is like, yeah, she's like, oh, make me tea sometime if I'm sick. He's like, bullshit, you're never happy. And she's like, I was happy before I was married. You lie, you lie. You see how he talks to me? You see how he talks to me? You know what? Jennifer, you used to say I should divorce him. And she's like, I still say it. Divorce him, mom, divorce him. I wish you guys could just be happy.
Yeah, and Gabby's crying, and Bill's there now, and he's like, Gabby, you shouldn't be exposed to this. Go upstairs, young one. Now listen, everybody. How about, he's like, you have to remember, marriage was different back then. I mean, it doesn't make things right, but if you want to help yourself, you just can't judge the past with the present where women have equal rights.
Yeah.
And women voting, who knew?
What a strange idea. So basically, you know, like Jennifer basically is like, I care about you being happy and I, you know, it's important to me. And Josephine's like crying and she's like, that means like a lot more than you can realize. And so Jennifer takes her mom outside to talk. And then John is sitting with Bill and John's like, it's too much, man. And Bill's like, well, if you're not from our culture, maybe you're divorced by now. And yeah. Then we just kind of end with Jennifer consoling her mother and, you know, telling her she'll make more of an effort to like understand her side and make her feel loved.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of the Real House.
That was it.
It was an odd episode. And I hate when Housewives end on this sad shit, you know, put the psychic now or like revisit the psychic or something. But yeah, I was sad at the end.
Really liked it.
Yeah, what? I always like watching Jersey. I really like the people on it right now. Everybody, thank you so much for being here, okay? To get tickets for the live show on May 6th, go to watchitcrappens.com. Click the little watch me thing on there. And come to our Peloton Waffleton Saturday if you guys feel like doing something fun at 11 a.m. Pacific time on our Instagram Live at watchitcrappens. And I think that's it, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. We will talk to you next time, okay?
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, she's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler. Let's give them a kiss, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will. Joanna Rockland, you.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.